There is God and there is the creation, and God created all things, and he did it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is actually a very comforting verse if you think about it.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, your message today reveals a picture of God not only as creator, but also as redeemer.
Indeed it does, Dave. And as we're going to see today, when we look in the scriptures, we gain an accurate picture of Jesus. So let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 15 to 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Prototokos can also mean position or rank, first place. The firstborn by nature had the first place, but it didn't always mean that the firstborn was the firstborn, as we'll see, or if that. It came to speak of primarily position or rank. And again, Esau was born first. He was the firstborn, quote unquote, yet Jacob was considered the firstborn, the preeminent one. Speaking of David and prophetically the Messiah in Psalm 89:27, we see this clearly relayed. God says, I will make him my firstborn. And he explains it. The highest of the kings of earth. Firstborn, the most preeminent. I'm going to make him the most preeminent. Yes, he's going to be humbled in a sense. You're not going to be able to see that, you know, but then he will be made to where he was. Preeminent. Therefore, God highly exalted him, right? Because he humbled himself to the point of death. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus is called the firstborn of the dead. Was he the first one that rose from the dead? No, Lazarus actually rose before that, right? There were those that rose from the dead, many tombs, and people were resurrected when Jesus died. But he is the first, as in the preeminent one, in which everyone else's resurrection depends, because it proves that God accepted his sacrifice. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not the first, but the highest. The highest, the most prominent. God's beloved Son did not come into existence as the firstborn. He was the firstborn in terms of rank. He is the highest. And fourth, our context of our passage demands this interpretation. The context demands that it's not speaking of being born in terms of becoming into existence, because we're going to see that he is supreme Lord of all creation because he created all things. So it wasn't that he came on the scene in 2000, and that was when Jesus first came about. No, God the Son, as we'll see, existed forever and ever as God the Son, and God the Son took on human flesh. So notice in our passage, Scripture absolutely refutes the deadly satanic heresy of those Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus was not created. He is preeminent. He's always first in terms of rank. Well, notice also our passage shows why he's supreme, why he is preeminent over all things. Notice, because he created all things. You know, if you create it, you've got supremacy over it, right? And if you created everything, you've got supremacy over everything. For by him, verse 16, all things were created. That's pretty clear. Both in the heavens and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. So Paul uses this term for to institute an explanation, but this term for, actually sometimes it'll be just like that for to explain, but this term in Greek is the term hadi, which means because. And we think, we understand that. We use the term for in our language, take two aspirins for a headache, or take two aspirins because you have a headache, right? And so here he's saying he's the firstborn, preeminent in rank, because he created all things, right? You're the tops if you created it all, right? That's really what it's saying. And so there, because. So Jesus is the supreme Lord of our creation because he's the preeminent one, the firstborn, the preeminent one, because by him all things were created. That's what it says. Now in this short phrase, let's make some observations because it's important to see this, that there's God and there are all things, and there's nothing in between. For by him all things were created. You got God, the Son, and all things, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, and he is above all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, J.D. would substitute that word in there. Not one manuscript has it. They say all other things. It's an evil translation. It's not true. So here, in these two short verses, 16 and 17, we have the term all things used four times. We have this idea. What does it mean in Greek? It means all things. So God created the heavens and the earth. God did it through his son Jesus, who is God. Remember what we saw in John 1:1? All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Remember what we saw in Hebrews chapter 1 concerning Jesus, his son, through whom he also made the world? Right? We see very clearly that he created all things. He's the supreme Lord because he created everything. This little term, because, puts a death nail into that J.W. heresy. If you just read the next verse, the firstborn can't mean what they say it means in light of the next verse. He's preeminent because he created it all. He's not preeminent because he was created. That doesn't work. It's not true, right? He's preeminent because he created it all. So with that in mind, we see here, because he has created everything, he's the supreme Lord with rights over his creation. Does not the potter, isn't the potter preeminent over the clay? Isn't that true? For by him all things are created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. The Son created all things in the heavens. The Son created all things on earth, literally upon the earth. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. What a magnificent creation, from the farthest star to the wonder of birth. The beauty of it all. God created it through his son Jesus. He's the creator. For by him all things were created. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And think about that. God did it through his son Jesus Christ, who is God. Genesis 2:4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they are created in the day the Lord God made the earth and heaven. Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea that is also and in them. We see in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were released, notice what the people say. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in it. When Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra after healing a man, the people started calling them Greek gods, wanting to sacrifice to them, and they responded in this way. Acts 14:15, and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you in order that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Proverbs 20:12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. The reality is, he has made everything, which includes the visible and the invisible. We see that here. In our passage, middle of verse 16, visible and invisible, the seen and the unseen. And then he elaborates. So the seen, we see the creation, right? That's the seen, right? I see you, that's the seen. You were created by God. This world was created by God. Our little puppy was created by God. The seen, right? But here, also the unseen, the invisible. He says here, he explains or elaborates of the sphere of the unseen, whether thrones, whether dominions, whether rulers, whether authorities. What's he talking about? Well, I think here he's taking the first blow at the heresy that saw Jesus as an angel. He's above them. He created them all. These are terms, in a sense, of rank and classifications of angelic beings, thrones, lordships, rulers, authorities. And Jesus is not an angel. He is God the Son, the Creator, who created all things, including angels. He created the angels, and when he took on human flesh, he was made for a little while lower than angels. Hebrews chapter 2. Having taken on human flesh in his incarnation, in his humility. Now, in his exaltation, he is infinitely above the angels. Hebrews chapter 1, 6. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. When he brings the preeminent one into the world, he is to be worshipped. All the angels of God are to worship him. Ephesians 1:21, for he is far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name in his name, not only in this age, but the age to come. And a little side note, we can be so self-centered in our thinking. We can think that we are the center of the universe. But there's actually an angelic sphere, and God is doing things even through the church to expose his character to the angelic sphere. Let's turn to Ephesians 3 for a second. And Jesus made it. The unseen. You know, there's angels out there. There's demons too. Now, Jesus made it all. We know that Satan was created the day he was created, but he fell. He was created perfectly blameless, but he fell. He sinned. And so did the angels that followed him, a third. Ephesians 3:8. To me, the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Oh, amen. We're done for today, right? Amen. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, Jesus is God, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. God's wisdom being made known to the demonic spheres. They're in heavenly places. They're going to get kicked out. You can see that in Revelation 12. It's so that his wisdom would be made known. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Jesus our Lord. So then back to our passage. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, preeminent one of all creation. All creation, get it? Because by him all things are created. It's just really clear when you read it through, right? So we saw what John 1 said earlier. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that's come into being. Jesus created all things. By him, all things were created. Do you believe this thus, that he is Lord because he has the rights to his creation? Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus is Lord, including being Lord over you? He created everyone. He is the Lord. Thus, his creation is to submit to him. And he calls upon his creation who has fallen to believe in him for the forgiveness of sins, to repent, to believe. So notice again, he says again in the end of verse 16, all things have been created by him and for him. The Lord Jesus created all, but there's something interesting here. He says they were created for him. We think we're for us, right? We're created for him. That's quite interesting. We share some passages that reveal some of this great truths. Turn to Isaiah chapter 29:15. You see, we got everything backwards. We make it all about us, and therefore all our solutions are about us, rather than focusing on him and allowing him to bring about his truth, to bring us right with him. Isaiah 29:15. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and those whose deeds are done in a dark place and say, who sees us? Or who knows us? You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? That what was made should say to its maker, he did not make me? Or what was formed say to him who formed it, he has no understanding? Hey, it's flipped on its head. It's turned around. Go up to Isaiah 45:9. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. By the way, we're by and large not quarreling anymore as believers, but we can quarrel a little bit. We can want our way. We can not listen to him, right? Now, these are the bad guys here, but we can learn from this. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth? Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing that you are making say, he has no hands? Go up to Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and all of us are the work of thy hand. He made us. And one last passage, go back a little bit, Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. He says, we're created for his glory. We're created for His glory. Wow. Boy, this truth would shut the counseling offices down. We're created for His glory. It's not about us and what has happened to us. It is about Him. We're created for His glory. So does your view of God include the reality that you were made for Him and not He for you? We're made for Him. Now, He's so gracious. He is our God. He loves us. He's kind. He's offered Himself to us through His Son, bringing salvation. He loves us. He's kind. He's merciful. We see His character. But we were made for Him. Therefore, we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and our problems, and we need to cast them upon Him. He's so gracious. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Get our eyes on Jesus. If we are for Him, let Him do what He pleases then in your life. And guess what? When you're filled with the knowledge of His will, that's what happens. But let me share one warning again here. Let's turn to Isaiah 29:15. Woe to those who hide their plans from the Lord, deeply hide, whose deeds are done in a dark place and say, who sees us or who knows us? You turn things around. Should the potter be considered equal with the clay? We need to put things back in order. He made us for Him and not Him for us. So in case you're tempted to sympathize with those heretics and false prophets who claim Jesus is part of the creation, Paul continues. He says in verse 7, and He is before all things. What does he mean by that? He's before, certainly in position. He is pros and before, but I think this actually even goes beyond that. Literally here in the Greek, you could read it, He Himself. They add the term autos, inspired by the Spirit. He Himself, emphatically, is before all things. So He was not created. He didn't come into existence. He is before all things. He's before everything that was created because He's the one who created it all. He Himself is before all things. A few passages, and we'll finish up here. Micah 5:2, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Someone says Jesus is created. No way. Look at this. You're lying. It's not true. From the days of eternity. He's eternal. Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen in order that you may know and believe in me and understand that I am He. Before me, there's no other God formed, and there'll be none after me. There wasn't God, and then God made another little God. It's God, the Son, the Father, and the Spirit, eternally God, one God, forever and ever. It's one God. He says, even from eternity, I am He. Eternity. You remember Jesus' remark to the Pharisees, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Very clear. He preexisted. He is before all things. Thus, He is separate from His creation. There is God, and there is the creation. And God created all things. And He did it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. This is actually a very comforting verse if you think about it. You see, we saw that He created all things, right? And here it says He is for all things, and in Him all things hold together. Isaiah 40, verse 21, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the vault of the earth, and the inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes judges on the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely have their stock been taken root in the earth, but He merely blows on them and they wither. And the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I should be His equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads them forth, their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one of them is missing. We forget how powerful our God is. We grovel in prayer at times. not remembering he is all powerful. He holds all things together. And if he decides to act upon a prayer according to his will, it is going to be done. If he says something in his word, it is going to be done. We need to believe it and trust in him. He holds all things together. We live in the threat of nuclear war. And I always, when Christians go, oh, what if it blew up? You know, the reality is he holds everything together. If he allows it to happen, he allows it to happen. But he's holding things together. We know it's not going to get totally blown up because he's told us what's going to happen in the future, right? We know what's going to happen. We believe the Lord. Christ holds everything together. It's interesting. The destructive power of one atom, he holds everything together. Zillions and billions of atoms. So if he holds that together, don't worry when your life's unraveling. Let him hold you together. Let his word comfort you. Let his word direct you. Let him help you. Trust him. Don't worry, but pray. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. But through prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. This is the God who made it all, who's above all things. It's not just God, it's God, right? And the peace of God, that must be some great peace. Yes, it is. Which surpasses comprehension shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him or your cares, for he cares for you. The God who made it all, who died for you, in whom we are joyously giving thanks for what he's done for us, he cares for you. Trust him. And when you see him rightly, then that trust sure seems much easier when you see who he really is. Then we don't waver. So do we have an accurate picture of who Jesus is? There are people out there who are spreading inaccurate pictures, claiming to be Christians, and they are evil. And we need to stay away from that. We're going to see in Colossians that the solution is not to battle with them. We're to stay away from them. The solution is to have a right picture of Jesus ourselves. He's God, we're not. He's Lord, because he made it all. He made it all. We're made for his glory, and he holds all things together. That includes us.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins,
that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.